recorded live from Orlando, Florida and Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to The Dapper Danielle Show, starring Ian Wilson, Clarence Kelly, and now, here's your host, the one and only, The Dapper Danielle.
We are back from our time over at Disneyland, and one of the videos I was not expecting to get such an interesting response from was the video about your wife, Jacqueline, Ian.
I was expecting it to get a very viral response because it struck a chord with people that have experienced maybe something similar in the past. Maybe they haven't experienced something similar. Either way, I think it is it's just something that you hear about, but when you can experience it fresh right. through someone's eyes who's never experienced it before, I don't know. It wasn't surprising to me that it went viral, but continue.
Well, and it didn't go as viral as I wanted it to. I mean, the TikTok algorithm is currently doing me dirty after its most recent update, but it's doing it dirty to all creators, and we're having a great time over here struggling. Anyway, but it still did better compared to most of the other videos that I've posted from Disneyland. And in particular, it is my sister Jacqueline's reaction, Ian's wife, to seeing the Disneyland castle for the first time in, like, it's been about 20 years, right? Is that what we decided? It's been about almost 20 years?
Almost that, if not more.
Right. And so when Jacqueline was last in Disneyland, she was the youngest out of us. So she was maybe in, like, first grade? Is that what we decided?
No.
Or was it, like, kindergarten? No, maybe second grade.
I don't think
grade.
It was that young, because I was in middle school.
Okay. If you were in middle school,
so
which would have been...
elementary school for Jacqueline.
Right, but still, relatively young. And it's been a good amount of time. So she does not have any recollection of the Disneyland castle. And of course, she has seen Disney World, though, quite a lot here in the past couple of years. So to see the stark difference in size... She was like, oh, actually, explain when we first made this realization that Jacqueline doesn't remember what it looks like.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is my first time going to Disneyland since about 2016 or so. So I had gone as a teenager in high school. I had, you know, kind of a similar experience of, okay, yes, I've grown up going to Disney World all the time. And then, you know, as you're an adult, you come over, you realize, wow, okay, the Disneyland castle is just way smaller. You're not really prepared for it. So knowing that Jacqueline likes to know the plan, she has expectations for Disney. I had this moment of realization as we're walking through the gate of, oh, Jacqueline is going to come around the corner of Main Street and she is going to be looking several hundred feet into the air too high for the peaks of the castle and needs to adjust her gaze down a bit to make sure she finds it. And so I just said, Jacqueline, you know, you need to start mentally preparing for the castle not being what you're expecting. Basically, don't expect your Magic Kingdom experience when you round the corner of Main Street here.
Mind you, we're making this recollection as we're standing in line for security.
Yeah,
we're about to enter through the gate. And she's
exactly.
like, wait, what?
Yeah, had no idea. So it was very amusing because then she's like, what are you talking about or whatever and stuff. And I think I even told her, I was like, you know, whatever you're imagining, like I'm telling you the castle is small. And then whatever you're imagining is small, cut it down by like another 3 degrees. Like it is smaller than even what you're imagining right now, just as a small castle. So it was very amusing. And then, of course, seeing her come around the corner and just be a bit, you know, awestruck at how small it is. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's like we kind of, you go around the world, there are houses bigger than the Disneyland castle. You know, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, that's how it was designed. It's like, okay, that's the scale of the time.
It was
okay?
the technology not, of 1955.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't expect that Disneyland should have this massive castle in it, but it is just a really big adjustment coming from Disney World, I think, especially. And just like you can see it from hotels, you know, and it's like at Disneyland, if there's someone tall in front of you on Main Street, you can't see the castle, you know? So I don't know. It's just, I think it is a big adjustment to just kind of get down to that scale a little bit. But it's, I don't know, it's beautiful in its own way. So it's not to take anything away from it. I think Jacqueline felt the same way too when she saw it, you know, and experienced it a little more in person. But
she really liked the walk around attraction. Like the,
yeah, that's very fun.
Going through the Sleeping Beauty story, which they have recently updated here in the past couple years, it looks gorgeous. The storytelling's great. Some really cool practical effects inside that walk around exhibit. So definitely worth going and checking out. The stairs at some points get a little scary and a little choppy, but you know, it's fine.
Let's keep in mind, though, we can fit a whole guest experience and a restaurant in the Disney World Cinderella's castle.
Oh, I know.
A little walkthrough hallway that goes over the arch.
Yeah, we do have a really good restaurant. It's pretty good.
I'm gonna stay on my Disneyland hater path.
Yeah.
See, but and oh my goodness, the people in the comments, y'all were getting crazy in the comments and just were just like, ours is better. And Disney World's like, and the Disney World people are like, yeah, at least she's cute. And like, I was like, guys, calm down. This is just a natural reaction. You don't need to take it so personally. I was very amused by the comment section. I was having to filter through some of those to make sure people weren't trying to throw hands between people in my Disney Worlders versus Disneylanders. It's gonna be like, calm down, y'all. This ain't a fighting match in the middle of my comments. So yeah, I had to go through and filter some of those. But who knew? Like, out of all things, my sister's reactions to seeing Disneyland after so many years. There was other videos I'm surprised did not do as well on certain algorithms. Actually, it didn't do as well on either one. And it was our adventures on the Davy Crockett canoes.
Mm. Another memorable event from that day at Disneyland.
Right. I love that. I honestly was looking back and I'm like, I liked the canoes. I really did. And I would totally be willing to do it again. But I think it was only because I was with you guys. And again, we have canoed before. Was I perfectly in sync? Absolutely not. But we did better than half of the other people on our boat, you know?
Yes, definitely.
I wanted more people to know that.
I think it's really interesting. Like, you know, you don't, I think sometimes you don't realize, like, getting to change your perspective somewhere that you go all the time, how fun that can be, you know? And I think sometimes you just, like, you experience Disney from the walkways, the main avenues. You're kind of going from point A to point B. And sometimes just having a slightly different perspective on something is like a really fun experience. And that's why we love sometimes when there's like a weird queue line that gets extended out somewhere. And it's like, ooh, we're going into this like kind of off limits area that we normally don't get to walk on or something. Or you do a tour behind the scenes or something and you just get to see a slightly different perspective. So I felt the same doing the canoes of like, this is such a unique perspective to have, you know, to be on the water, to be like this close to the different, you know, boats and stuff that are kind of sharing the rivers of America with you. And it's like, I don't know, just a different experience, different perspective helps you kind of see things slightly different. So very enjoyable. And honestly, not as miserable to be with people that don't canoe. I mean, I think it would be helpful if you had people that knew how to row with you in the boat, but
can you?
The same time, it's like, that's Disney. You're not going to always have, you know, a perfect group kind of with you. It's
but
still
like,
a fun experience.
Shout out to the cast members because they really do, like the guy steering in the back and the one leading the front. Like if you don't, it without them, you're not going anywhere.
It's true. It's, yeah. Yeah. You need that guy in the back steering.
Yeah, or else we'd just be going, keep hitting the island. Eventually, we just strand ourselves over on the Tom Sawyer's, or we just flip the boat over there by Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Be like, help! Yeah, no, we need the cast member.
I know, it does kind of get throwback to like the lost days of like, you know, in Disney World, when they used to just like rent jet skis and little boats out to people on lakes. And it's like the unsupervised Disney days kind of where it's like, yeah, we just gave people stuff to go do things.
We
on
just
Disney
let them
property.
Fend for themselves. They were fine-ish back then. But yeah, I don't know. But to do that in a park, though, is not the same versus out in the middle of Bay Lake and all that jazz.
It's true. You come back with more paddles, you know, because in Bay Lake, half the paddles are chomped off by the alligators. So, you know, you just don't come back with as many paddles.
Exactly. You're missing a couple people in your party. It's fine. Yeah.
Not as many gators now, though. I did. You know what's crazy?
What?
I looked this up recently because somebody on TikTok made me mad.
Why? What made you mad?
They were saying, so they were talking about gators at Disney World.
Right.
And someone commented, well, Disney catches and releases the mosquitoes and takes them to different parts of Florida and releases them.
Mosquitoes?
So I doubt they would ever hurt the alligators, because they were talking about how the post was about how, like, Disney kills the alligators. And so she was like, oh, they would never hurt the alligators because they catch and release the mosquitoes. That's what I've heard. And I'm like, that's one, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Two, it is a fact. This is the statistic I found, and I commented back because it made, I was so annoyed. Between 2016 and 2021, over 250 alligators had been caught and removed from Disney property. The majority have been euthanized.
Yes.
For gator meat. So there's always gators in the water. They are chomping off the paddles. Just was something that I thought, like, for some reason came up.
And
anyway, that made me think of it, Ian. Maybe I'll edit this out. I don't know.
No, I mean, no, it's something to mention, because I think people forget, like, yeah, guys, yeah, we're Disney World property. Yes, it is the Disney bubble, but it's also still very much swampland in Florida. And with so much of the surrounding area being developed, the waterways inside Disney World are some of the last remaining waterways that is kind of becoming a safe haven in between the Orlando and the Everglades down south. So there are gators all over the place. And I was not surprised when you said how much of a percentage were euthanized. And that was because there is a Florida law of if they are so comfortable with humans and they are over a certain size, then yes, they can be removed. If they are under a certain footage, then they have to be relocated and moved to a different location. Usually it is to a nature preserve that's a couple miles away from property.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway, do we want to jump into some news?
I say we jump into some news.
Perfect. Okay. I thought this was very interesting. Or actually, Danielle, can you do a proper intro greeting now that we're 13 minutes in?
Oh, yes. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dapper Danielle Show. I am your host, the Dapper Danielle, and I am joined by my brother, Clarence Kelly, and my brother-in-law, Ian Wilson. And we are going to be talking through some of our adventures because we just returned back to Disneyland. Well, from Disneyland, we are back at home in our respective home locations of Orlando and Nashville, Tennessee. And we have been reflecting on our time in Disneyland, and that's going to be some of our main topic and some of our differences that we've noticed. We kind of touched on that a little bit already with my sister Jacqueline's reaction to seeing the Disneyland castle. But there's also some breaking news that we've seen, because Disney just recently had a ton of social media and media people here on Disney World property at the time that we're filming this. And like our friends Twin Sauce, Luke and Paul, were actually just in town, and that's really the only reason why I knew about any of this really happening was because of them. And they had about 400 media people, random influencers, wow, podcasters. They had all these newspaper people were all here covering this. And I think it's so interesting that they're covering this news stuff when D23 and more announcements are coming literally next weekend. Mm. Very interesting. But some of the news that we did get was Beak and Barrel over in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. It is our first bar location, and I was not anticipating how interactive it is. Have you guys seen video that was released yesterday?
No, I've did not see it until I checked our show notes this morning and saw there was a link to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks kind of cool. So opening August 29th. Of this year. So probably by the time this episode comes out, it will already be open.
Now, did you guys hear about the craziness of the reservation system?
No, what's that?
So what happened was, is that the reservations were originally supposed to open on, was it the 14th? August 14th, I believe, or August 17th, one of the two. And when it opened, originally, the entire website shut down. And they could not get it up and working. So you had thousands of people trying to get a reservation for this, all these people, and Disney's like, okay, we can't get it to work, we're gonna push it back a week from now. And so they just posted the reservations again on the 20th. Wow. And so on August 20th it went live again. Most reservations were gone within seconds, minutes, and the struggle is that you can't just grab a reservation just to grab a reservation, because on certain nights that they're open is also a Halloween party night and or Christmas party night.
Wow.
So even if you have a reservation for Beacon Barrel, if you don't have a ticket for that party, you're not getting in.
Wow.
Interesting.
Now, where in Adventureland is this going exactly?
This is going to be going right. So when you're looking at the Pirates of the Caribbean entrance to the queue, immediately off to the right, it's where the old Pirates version of the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique used to be.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So they've completely gutted that out. They've actually extended it out a little bit into the back of the gift shop area. So they have like a whole back area over there. And from videos that have come out that I've seen from our friends, it is very impressive. Rummy, the basically the Barker bird from back in the day of Pirates of the Caribbean, Rummy now is a regular character. He is a moving animatronic that will appear and disappear.
That's nice. That's really nice they're doing an animatronic instead of like a digital, you know, like a projection type. Yes. You know, animated thing, because I like those, but the animatronic just, it's like so Disney, so classic Disney. It just, it's, I don't know, better in my opinion than the
and
digital
he is
version.
Kind of cute. He's really cute. Yeah. What's also cool is that they have interactive moments. It's almost like a mixture of Oga's Cantina and Trader Sam's Grog Grotto. So at one point, Rummy comes out, and all of a sudden you hear this melodic like music going. And he's like, oh no, it's the mermaids. We have mermaid sirens. And they're like, don't listen to the music. And so then all the bartenders are like, cover your ears, all this other stuff. And then so all these interactive pieces, or Rummy will come out and will start a chant or like a yo-ho, and we'll start the song up, and then he'll disappear for a little bit. And all the bartenders there are so into it. They were having so much fun in their test day with all the social media people here yesterday. And it's so I'm excited. I hope that this does well and that people don't ruin the intentionality of what the storyline's supposed to be.
So Danielle, what is it with you and Little Feathered Friends? Because I feel like, is Rummy going to become the third addition to Orange Bird, Chubby, and Rummy? Rummy feels like the one friend that's like always a little bit tipsy out on like, you know, get-togethers with the other friends.
He's the drunken best friend of my bird friends. I don't know what it is. And that's what's funny. I don't love real birds in real life, but give me an animatronic or a cartoon bird, I'm all over it. Or maybe it's just a fruit bird, a cartoon bird, and a pirate bird. I don't know. But I do really like Rummy. And I even before they did a pin set series where it was like a trading pin set for the Pirates of the Caribbean. And they brought Rummy out, or Barker Bird, before they announced what his name was. And I immediately traded for that pin because I was like, oh my goodness, I love him so much. So maybe Rummy is going to become one of those, the new addition to my bird friends. You know? I don't know.
I think so. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm looking at the menu. Looks delicious. But it is very expensive.
I mean,
you're looking at $20 for a drink.
That's normal though. I would say between $17 to $23 is kind of the average alcoholic drink price. Yeah.
For Disney.
For maybe. Disney, yes.
I'm here in Nashville paying $10 or $11 for a cocktail. So
if you're at a nice bar here in Nashville, I would say you're $15, $17, $20. That's not crazy. I would
it
be
depends
like,
on where. If you go to Attaboy, it's $18.
Yeah,
but that's like a unique experience. But if you're going to
we got
to
pay Rummy somehow here, okay? You know, you think he's working off
tips? They are pirates.
I guess I'm also curious, too, about this. Do you think it's going to be like Oga's Cantina where you have like a 40-minute cap and then they tell you get out?
I would assume so. I would absolutely assume so. Because if you're going to have people wanting to stay there and watch the entire rotation of experiences, we don't know how long that rotation is. Does Rummy come out every 7 minutes? Does a new transition happen or something like that? Or does it vary depending on your party size? So we just don't know. And we won't know that until the first day of operation and seeing that kind of flow through. And we can't really compare it to other places like Oga's Cantina over in Disneyland supposedly just dropped their reservation system. So you can, it's a standby walk-up only. Unless you already had a reservation, then they're still honoring it. But anybody new coming forward, it's just walk-up. That is not the case, y'all, still here in Hollywood Studios. So it is still a reservation for us.
I wonder if is it not as popular out in California as it is here?
I think it's because it is a locals park. So I think they're trying to bring in more of the casual park goer and being like, hey, you don't need a reservation. Just walk up to the bar, get a drink, hang out over here with the smugglers and rogues, and then head on out. So we're over in Hollywood Studios, we're too busy, honestly, and we don't have the same kind of local rotation going through.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm excited about it. I think it looks cute. The photos look really good. I am looking forward to trying it.
I'll get y'all in eventually.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how soon we can get a reservation in there. Next time we come down, we will have to try to make a
trip.
We'll
have to try. And y'all, I did not get a reservation for this at all. I'm going to have to piggyback off somebody else that either somebody canceled in their party. And I'm just going to be like, hey, can I be your third party person? Thank you very much. And just piggyback off them.
Mm-hmm. Nice Kermit impression.
Thank you. Ties into our next topic.
Speaking of Kermit, we've got some first looks, some concept art of the new skin for Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yes.
With the Electric Mayhem, and it looks kind of exactly how I expected it to look. It's just a reskin of the old like pre-show, but I do love like for some of the concept art, which we can probably throw it up here. You got the penguins in the control room for the studio, and then you got Scooter off to the side as producer. I don't know what Kermit is doing in like one of the isolation booths over there on the right, and Miss Piggy as well.
It's supposed to represent a mixture of practical effects. So mm-hmm. I feel like the Miss Piggy is probably going to pop up as like a video call into the studio, and then the Kermit's going to be on the other screen, and they'll probably say something back, or he's like the producer kind of thing. But the penguins, based off their placement on the soundboard, I believe they are recycling some of the penguin animatronics from Muppet Vision, because that kind of fits the vibe. And honestly, uh-huh. The one kind of looks like, honestly, his hand position is already in the position of the drummer penguin. Mm-hmm. And then Scooter would probably be a brand new animatronic, or he's going to be a holographic effect.
Oh,
so I think it's just showing the different layers that are going to be in this. We don't know anything else besides that. We saw what the skin's gonna be like on the outside of the guitar now. I'm kind of excited for that. I don't know. This is making me hopeful. I am shocked by the amount of people that are so against the Muppets going to Rock and Roller Coaster.
Really?
Why? Like, I don't know. And I'm just like, guys, when was the last time any of you have listened to Aerosmith? And like,
Aerosmith is not very Disney. Like, I mean, yes, they're, you know, a big band, you know, but it's like, but what's their connection to Disney at all, you know?
They're officially retiring here soon. Wasn't there some problematic things that came out with half of the band here a couple years ago? Like, it's time to move on. The Muppets do not age. The Aerosmith has aged.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, they're old, but...
Right, right.
Yeah, it's just, it is a little weird to me, too. It's like, because I feel like on the one hand, too, it's like everyone's sad that Muppet Vision is gone, but then it's right. Like, okay, well, if you want Muppets back in the park, like, let's take them anywhere we get them, you know what I mean? Like, and Rockin' is, it's a good coaster, it just needs maybe a little more life in it, you know, it's, I think part of the choice for Aerosmith is like the, it's like the classic California vibe, like very well known, you know, just mm-hmm. California all the way kind of. And so, but it's, I mean, Dr. Teeth is like a perfect trade-in for that, of extremely California vibe but very Disney in its focus, you know. So I feel like it makes a lot of sense. Plus it's like, I don't know, Aerosmith, like the Dr. Mayhem, the whole band is a little bit unhinged, which makes a lot of sense for the like rock and roller coaster setting, which is this like very, you know, rock and roll, we're just zooming through the city doing, you know, crazy rock and roll band stuff, really fits for the Dr. Teeth Electric yes. Mayhem kind of vibe. So I don't know, to me, I don't really see why you could be too upset with that. The only thing I thought was a little interesting to me, and maybe Clarence can speak to this more because I'm not an expert, but I would say I think of the big red guitar as a like stadium rock, very classic like electric guitar style, and I think of Dr. Teeth and the Muppets as more of a like British Invasion style rock guitar. Like, just the electric guitar style doesn't seem to fit Dr. Teeth as much. So I wish they had changed the shape of the guitar body, not just given it the psychedelic kind of overlay, because that shape to me is just more like, I associate that more with like a Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, yeah, like a Guns N' Roses is... type rock band, whereas Dr. Teeth is a little more like 70s vibe to me somehow. I don't know, just in my head that's like how I would like do it, but I don't know.
I think it's because Floyd is technically like the Floyd and Janis are the guitarist and the bassist. So when you think of the lead is an organist. So which who is Dr. Teeth. So I think that's why, maybe. I don't know, Clarence, what do you think?
Maybe. I think so. Janis plays a Les Paul, and
which they do have in the queue when currently when he's like, hey, can you grab my black Les Paul? It's also a Les Paul.
Gotcha. But Floyd plays what looks like a Fender Jazzmaster bass, and the guitar at the front of Rock and Roller Coaster most closely resembles like a Fender Stratocaster, in my opinion, which is probably one of the most universal guitars. It's literally what I have back here, behind me, just in a different color. Oh. And so, I mean, Fender Strats are like super universal. They are used by pretty much every genre of music, so it makes sense to me to like, it's not like a Flying V electric where which is like
true.
Very iconic to a particular genre of music. The Strat like can kind of, because I'm pretty sure Hendrix played a Strat, and he's very much that like he yeah, gives true. Dr. Teeth vibes yeah, in yeah, my yeah. opinion, you know, kind of psychedelic blues rock.
Dr. Teeth is so cool. Sorry, I'm just thinking about my Muppets. And there was they actually came out during the announcement of this. And when I tell you, I went to Luke and Paul after I saw this video. I met up with him in Epcot, and I smacked him on the arm, and I said, "How dare you see the Muppets? And I have not seen them in person yet." And I was so jealous of them. They ended up sending me all their B-roll footage afterwards. They're just like, "We know you would appreciate this," and they just they did a drop file to me, and I was just like, "This is amazing." But yeah, Dr. Teeth, Scooter, Fozzie, Kermit all came out to talk about it, and I was so jealous. But yes, Dr. Teeth is just so cool. And yeah, so that's why that actually is a very good point, Clarence. Thank you for explaining the instruments to us, because I was like, oh no, that's actually a really good point. I love that.
Yeah, and what's funny, even funnier, if what? You really think about it, the way the Strat is positioned in the out front of Rock and Roller Coaster is it's a right-handed guitar set up as if it's being played left-handed, which is exactly how Jimi Hendrix played his guitar, his Stratocaster. So it just feels on brand for something kind of like psychedelic feeling. So I'm excited for it. I think
that's a great fun fact, Clarence. I love that.
Yeah, just a fun little, just a little thing. Next time you see it, you can tell all your friends, oh, that Strat is upside down. I am gonna be sad that Steven Tyler is not gonna be greeting us anymore in the ride, but I will be very happy to see Dr. Teeth and Animal and the rest of the gang.
Me excited for the pre-show, because I'll gladly go into the show and then chicken exit, and I'll be very happy.
You gotta give it a ride at least once. It doesn't seem like they've announced the soundtrack yet.
No, and I've been done so dirty by the holiday overlay soundtrack for Guardians of the Galaxy. The only reason why I wrote it twice, right? I am so afraid to go on to Rock and Roller Coaster, and if they mess up the audio, I'm going to wait. I'm going to spoil it for myself, and I need to hear what the audio sounds like to make sure it's worth my time. And if I'm going to go on this for the first time, because if they mess up the mix for the Electric Mayhem, and if it's not the, oh yeah, everybody grinning, everybody winning, I don't want it.
Yeah. I need Can You Picture That plan while yes. I'm riding through. I'm going to be mad if it's like one of the covers they did from the Disney Plus show, which the Disney Plus show was fun, but I didn't love all the, like, the covers that
some of them were good, some of them were not my favorite. Yes, I agree.
I would even be okay with the main title? Like Jack White, You Are My Sunshine, the song that Jack White did with the Electric Mayhem
for the TV show
a while ago. It's not that
you
slow.
Are the sunshine of my life. Yeah, that's just a little too
it's
slow.
It's just kind of groovy. It's like yeah, you're probably right.
It'd be great. I would also be interested to see what they're going to play in the courtyard of G-Force Records. And if we assume that the record studio is going to be the same. Honestly, y'all, this is going to be such a quick overlay turnaround. I would not be so, and I think that's why they haven't announced any dates yet. And if they do announce dates, it probably will be at D23. I expect this to be only a couple month downtime, because they're not changing the ride itself. The outside is just getting a brand new decal repaint, and most of the queue is not changing.
Mm. Yeah.
Dang. Well, something else to look forward to. Let's say we move on to our last news segment that we want to cover.
Something that is changing quite a lot.
Yeah.
Well, this one, okay. So what happened was, during this whole media event thing that they didn't really have too much to add to it. They just threw in some random new preview art of what else is coming to Big Thunder Mountain here at Walt Disney World. It has currently been down for refurbishment. It will not be opening until January of next year. So we still have a couple more months until then. But they dropped some new pictures of things going wrong in the cavern. So we're adding a little more interactive, timed theme to this. And so you're getting into the caves. It's going to be beautiful. Oh, you're in Rainbow Caverns. And then it makes it seem like, oh no, there's going to be an eruption. And that's what really pushes you forward into the attraction. Which I do like the reference to Rainbow Caverns. That does have a reference to Disneyland's history. And I'm interested. We know that there are some new animatronic animals that have been added to the outside. So they were testing donkeys, and they actually have like a little more movement to them, and they actually have a new covered area. If you were not familiar with the storyline, the original storyline of Big Thunder Mountain, it is in my book and you should go check it out. And we kind of go through some of the details of tying in the Bullion family, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. And I hope all that story stays and we're just plussing it and we're making it more obvious, because I think for the longest time I would say these references and these things and people are like, what? I don't see it. What? And so now this, hopefully this will make it more obvious to people.
But you were telling us in California, Danielle, that the storyline for Big Thunder in Disneyland and Disney World are different. So do you think this is a move to kind of unify the storyline for both Big Thunders? Like both towns are going to kind of have the same backstory? Because it seems like the one in Disneyland is kind of like the ghost town. You know, it's like that the town is kind of decaying and you know, there's some of the kind of things go wrong in the cave, but there isn't quite that same, like, I don't know, like, you know, menace from the actual, like, Big Thunder Mountain itself, kind of. It's like just kind of that there's just decay in this. But then there's kind of this whole, like, backstory to the corporation side of things for Disney World and Magic Kingdom. And so, I don't know, it's like, I feel like that, not that it's, like, conflicting necessarily, because it's like they're different rides, different locations, but I wonder if they're kind of trying to move to like unify those together so that it's kind of more of a consistent, like, this is just the Big Thunder backstory and why the town is the way it is. And, you know, maybe there is something in the mountain that's causing, you know, things to go wrong with the mining operation.
But we actually have a flooding scene, and that's some like a really big difference. And like the main key point of like the whole thing is that the town literally dried up, not only just in the gold, but it had a drought. And so the spirits of Big Thunder became angry and basically flooded the entire town. So when you're on Walt Disney World's Big Thunder, you are cutting through the town in that really bouncy section towards the middle end, and there's water everywhere. That's why the guy's randomly in the bathtub just spinning around. The guy's trying to pail water out of his wagon, and it's because they had a flash flood. And then originally, down towards where the McDonald's fry cart used to be, it was supposed to be a stagecoach, and it was sunk into the ground, and then the ground solidified around it, so that it was just permanently there. So that's why they sold french fries out of it. The wheels were all covered. It was covered in this like fake dirt, and it was covered up to the middle of the wheel.
Very interesting.
Right. So that story was tied in, but since that storyline is gone further down into Frontierland, I don't know if it'll stick around or what, or if they're going to change it slightly, but these elements are not over in Disneyland's version.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see how similar or how different we will be.
Mm-hmm. We'll be interested to see how much better the Disney World version will be.
Honestly, I have been missing our Big Thunder so much. I'm so excited for it to be so much smoother. They have a brand new track. Brand new everything is going to be going in there. I think I'm more worried about how much is not going to be the same, because we just published the book, right? So like, I already know we're gonna have to do some things. We're gonna have to already add and plus and change up the I Love Disney's Magic Kingdom. But now I'm like, oh, if they change all the fun facts and everything that I put inside the Big Thunder area, am I gonna have to change all this again? I don't know.
You're just gonna have to do a second edition.
I know. I'm not angry about it.
You know, an updated version of the book to release. Just sell a couple more copies, you know, it'd be great.
Exactly. Well, then that way you can be the person that has both versions of the book. You can have the 0.1 version and then the updated with, because Beacon Barrel's not in the book. Anything about Piston Peak is not in the book. The Villains Land's not in there. So
yeah, you're going to, once all of that opens, and because isn't Radiator Springs also coming to Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, that's Piston Peak is going to is going to be the Cars extension there in the middle. I didn't write anything about Liberty Square we did write Liberty Square, a lot about Liberty Square. But we didn't mention Liberty Bell. We didn't mention Tom Sawyer's Island. And there are some other little like things that are being added and plused here recently, I feel like, throughout the park. And if Tomorrowland suddenly gets a little bit of love, not saying it's actually going to happen, but oh, like Buzz Lightyear is actually going to be updated here in the beginning of next year.
Okay.
And they announced that also over at the media event. They got to mess around with the new guns and the little new laser things, and the new targets. They got to mess with those, and I'm really excited for that plusing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. I think I feel like we have to just look at it as like everyone has experiences at Disney, and so we're not necessarily going to perfectly capture the way Disney is at its current moment, but we're preserving those experiences in some way for the people that did experience them, that, you know, remember the old Big Thunder and stuff like that. So yeah, there's always going to be changes at Disney, but we still
but are they gonna remove my reference of the apple dumpling game? That's all I care about.
I don't know, Danielle.
I like that little reference
forever.
I hope so. All right. Well, that just about wraps up our news, but some of our other, but I mean, we still have more to talk about though. Always about
is. We got a lot to talk about.
A lot of things to talk about. We have not, honestly, by the time we're recording this, our other episodes have not released yet. So you heard that thing about respecting cast members. I want to hear those cast member stories. I still want to hear those. So make sure you are sending those over into the email address as well. Did we decide on what email I'm sending that to?
I think it's just the Dapper Danielle one, the one in your link tree.
The DapperDanielle@gmail.com is where I want to see those stories. And hopefully here in the next couple of episodes, I'll be able to start sprinkling those in, because I do want to hear those. And I really want to cover those to highlight some of our cast member things that you probably don't care about, but we really do. Anyway, moving on.
Do we want to make here, just to pause before we jump into the segment. Do we want to make a like Dapper Danielle show email for this?
I was wondering that. I actually can do that through. I might be able to set it up through my website.
Okay.
And then that way it's podcast@thedapperdanielle.com.
Oh. Okay.
So let me see if I can. I'll just say that real quick, and then I can make sure I can actually do that.
Okay.
Actually, we're going to change it up a little bit. So in one of the last episodes, I did say a different email. So this email is going to be specifically just for your stories and just so you can reach out to the podcast. You can talk to us. This is also another really great way that you can send in reviews too. So if you're on one of the platforms that you only can leave the stars, it won't let you leave reviews. You can send us a review and I'll make sure to read through it. It's going to be podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. And that's where you can email your stories and everything else too. So, all right, guys. Well, the main reason why I brought you in today is to talk about some of those differences, the things that you loved, the things that you're like, why, about your time over in Disneyland versus Disney World. Are you guys ready to get into it?
I'm so ready. You have no idea.
I want to preface this with y'all need to be respectful of the Disneylanders. I know we have a lot of respectful Disneylanders in here, and they are very protective about their park, just like how we are about Disney World. So I want to make sure you guys are nice, play nice. Okay?
We will be nice.
Yep. I get it. I'm also very protective. I was going to say something sassy and I lost my train of thought. Anyway,
because I told you to calm down. Well, one thing I think we all could agree on is we loved the food over in Disneyland.
Yes. Although, right? I would say, okay, this is interesting. Just to start it off on a controversial note, anyways.
Oh.
I would say that the food was not that much better compared to what I expected. Like, I think I always heard that, like, the food in Disneyland is just so amazing. It's so good. And I felt like I went and I was like, okay, yes, Disneyland's food definitely wins. Clearly, like, I enjoyed a lot of my food there a lot more. Mm-hmm. But I think when you take into account things like Epcot's Food and Wine Festival, the different kiosks we have available in Disney World, I was like, yeah, it does win Disneyland, but it's not like, wow, just like so incredible. I think Disney World has really stepped up their game recently in that respect, mm-hmm. for the food, at least. So I feel like there's better offerings at Disney World than there used to be. Like, if we were doing this,
well,
like 5 years ago.
Now, are you saying Disney World as a whole, or are you comparing Magic Kingdom to Disneyland?
I think It's a little bit of both, because there's also some really good things in California Adventure that I feel like we like draw on for our experience of Disneyland's food. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you just compare the parks as a whole to each other, I think Disneyland still has the edge right now. But I do think that there are some elements of food up and coming where I'm like, yeah, I could see Disney World really catching up in the next couple of years and there not being as big of a gap. But I think in general, I feel like, especially when it comes to like quick service options at Disneyland, the options are just better. It's like just the food you're going to get, it's just a higher quality. Whereas at Disney World, it just feels like it's kind of the same burger done different ways, basically around the park, especially at like Magic Kingdom. So yeah, anyways,
a basically more selection.
So I think the variety is much better at Disneyland. So yeah, especially, I mean, I still think probably my favorite thing was that garlic butter brat that we had right outside of the Matterhorn. That was really good. Surprise. And I wouldn't have thought to put those things, you know, together necessarily, but I really, really enjoyed that and would definitely do it again. Again, something that if we were at Disney World and it was 105 degrees, 100% humidity, big old brat on a garlicky pretzel, it just doesn't hit the same, you know. But when it's that 70 degree perfect temperature in California, you can just really enjoy the heavier food that you don't always enjoy at Disney World. So I was very impressed by that. That was probably one of my favorite food items that we got while we were at Disneyland.
So what we're talking about in particular is called the Cheesy Garlic Pretzel Bread. And this is available over at Edelweiss Snacks in Disneyland, which is near the Matterhorn. And the same item is also sold just outside of the castle at Maurice's Treats, right there in the corner of Fantasyland. So what a lot of people do, and I didn't get to experience this with y'all, is that they will buy not the one with the brat in it. They'll just get the just the cheesy bread, and they won't get the marinara sauce. I love the marinara sauce, honestly. So they'll get just the roll, and then they'll take it over next door to Bengal Barbecue, which is a quick service area in Adventureland where you can just get skewers, and they will just get like a chicken skewer or the beef skewer, and they will take it and open it up and put it into their garlic bread and make it like a sandwich.
Okay, wait. People's cheesy garlic bread lasts from Fantasyland walking all the way to Adventureland? I don't think it would last that long in our party. I think it would be 70% devoured by the time we got from Fantasyland to Adventureland. Like,
I mean, it's not that far of a walk because, okay, if you're looking at the map,
it's a pretty good piece of bread, though.
It is. I mean, knowing Dapper Dad, no, he would have to have a walking one and then one for when we actually get to the
location. I'm just amazed that people can just hang on to that and just, like, smell it, hold it. As they walk over, then wait in line for more food, get that more food, and
the trick
it wouldn't
is,
last that long. It's already gone by the time we get to Adventureland.
The issue I see with this is you're paying already like $10 for this garlic bread. You're paying another $10 for a chicken skewer. It's now a $20 food item.
You can get just the skewer, you can get just the chicken skewer or just the beef skewer for $7. And then
so
you can get
$17.
Right. Well, no, and then just the bread is $8. In the marinara sauce is an extra $1.99. So it costs about the same as the bratwurst did.
How much is the brat? Do you have the menu?
Yes, I do have the menu. The bratwurst.
I can't pull it up.
I got you. I still have my Disneyland app up.
Okay, so you're looking at $15 for the
okay, the brat is $13.79.
Okay, so it's still cheaper to get the brat by $2.
But I don't like bratwurst. I would greatly devour a chicken sandwich.
I would try a chicken skewer pretzel thing. If someone could get the pretzel to the skewer place for me so I didn't have to like look at it and be tempted by it as I walked over to Adventureland,
I would try it for sure. You can mobile order the skewers, but you can't mobile order from Maurice's Treats. So while you're getting your bread in line is when you say, I'm here, and it's within walking distance, forces you to speed walk over there to pick up your mobile order.
Maybe we should get the skewers first. Get the skewers, then walk over to the bread. And then we have
two skewers, and we have one to eat on the way over to the bread and one to put in the bread.
Yes. Okay. I'm open to trying it, but I feel like the brat was good enough on its own.
I'm just happy with the brat.
And honestly, I put some of that marinara on the brat. That was killer.
Was it really?
Oh, it was so good. I am a big fan of this brat. I think something that shocked me when we were in Disneyland was how good the cart food was.
Yes.
Compared to Disney World. Because cart food in Disney World is just really kind of abysmal, in my opinion. Right.
But we have so many sit-down restaurants where they have no sit-down restaurants.
That's the thing Disney has going for it, Disney World has going for it, is there are way more sit-down restaurants. I feel like there's more quick service, too. But, like, the cart food is pretty sad. I really don't think the cheeseburger egg rolls are that good.
They need to be spiced up. We got to change it up now. Like, I've gotten bored of the cheeseburger egg rolls. Like, I like them. I still like them. But I won't purposely go and just pick that up every single time I'm in Magic Kingdom now, because it's almost too much.
Yeah, but the shawarma cart on Adventure's Canvas
was pretty good.
I was surprised. I was like, this is really good. It's really tasty.
To be pre-made and just in a little warmer, like, we were just like, okay, this will be okay food. And luckily we ordered enough for everybody to get basically one for themselves. And I was like, oh, I don't need one. And I ended up eating an entire chicken shawarma just by myself.
They're pretty
great.
It was very tasty. I am tempted, because was it only chicken? Or was there? Oh, there was falafel one as well.
Yeah, that was
the falafel
also good.
Was really good as well.
Mm-hmm. Had a couple more veggies really on it. Yes.
Two food items controversial for the Dapper Danielle show. This might get me banned as a host, but the churros were the exact same in my opinion. I felt like there was maybe a nominal, you know, point for Disneyland's. It was a little warmer, a little less humidity, soggy. Sure, but basically it was just a churro. I didn't feel like there was a huge difference. Well, and the other controversial opinion I have, I didn't think the macaroon was that good. The big red macaroon, I was like, honestly,
I agree.
Yeah, just I don't even care about this. Like, I've had macaroons in Alaska that were better than that macaroon, in my opinion. So to me, that was just like complete just wash. Like, we can just forget about the macaroon. I don't know. Other people in our party liked it a lot. So I'm not saying there's no merit to it. If you like it, that's great. For me, that was a big, like, hyped up thing about going to Disneyland. And then I felt like I had it. And I was like, yeah, it's just kind of a macaroon with a lot of frosting.
See, me and Jacqueline really liked it. After having that one, I need to go to Epcot and go into the France Pavilion and try their raspberry macaron. To see how it compares, because now that I still have like that taste fresher in my mind, I need to go do a comparison. Because I would agree with Jacqueline, it was a little perfumey tasting. It wasn't bad, but it was a little perfumey.
It's because it's got like rose or something in it.
Yeah,
and
right.
It just tastes a little odd. I would agree with Ian. I also don't really like macaroons to begin with.
I've had some really bad ones, and then I was like, oh, this one's actually pretty good, just because that should be the standard. I must have had just really bad macarons.
Maybe. But, like, I remember even when you got it when we were there last October.
You didn't love it then.
I was like, this is fine. I was like, this is nasty. I feel like I'm eating a bottle of perfume. I'm like SpongeBob and Patrick running through the perfume section in that episode where they're stuck on the Flying Dutchman, like, just being sprayed. Like, that's what it feels like eating that macaroon, in my opinion.
That's funny.
So, not a big fan of it, but I also just don't like macaroons in general. But corn dog was pretty yummy.
Oh,
big fan of that.
Did you guys like the corn dog? You guys ended up having the corn dog. I ordered mobile order with Ashley for Jolly Holiday. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to splurge. I'm going to get my grilled cheese and my tomato soup. And I was living my best life. So did you guys like the corn dog, though?
It's good.
I thought it was a good corn dog. I felt like it wasn't as good as the brat in the pretzel roll. But
I agree with that.
It was for like a corn dog, it was a good corn dog. I haven't really had a corn dog at Disney World ever, I don't think. I can't really think of a time I've had a corn dog at Disney World. So
I mean,
I
the
really
only place where they kind of do corn dogs are the mini corn dogs over at Casey's Corner, and that's kind of it. And they taste totally different.
Well, I feel like, do they have one on the Boardwalk too. I feel like there might be a corn dog stand on Boardwalk as well that you can.
But that's a third party company. It's okay. Not Disney, and yeah. they're known. That's Blue Ribbon, and Blue Ribbon is known for their corn dogs.
Okay, yeah. So I'd be interested to try a Disney World corn dog to compare, but I feel like it was good. I was like, yeah, this is like classic park food, like whatever. Pretty good experience with that. Yeah, I don't know. And then maybe, okay, so switching gears. This is another really interesting part of my experience that's sort of related to food and just kind of general like amenities, I guess, at the park. But
yeah.
Very interesting. I felt like the bathrooms were extremely limited at Disneyland. I was not prepared for that because I feel like at Disney World, you just, there's a bathroom at every corner. It's very large. You're never waiting, really. It's pretty well kept up. I felt like the Disneyland bathrooms needed some attention. Most of the places I went to, I felt like, I don't know. I feel like when you're at Disney World, it's like, okay, you run into a bathroom over by Space Mountain. There is like a bathroom attendant there actively working to make sure it's clean, it's tidy, it's, you know, well-maintained. Mm-hmm. I feel like at Disneyland, it was like all the bathroom attendants were on break that day or something, or there's just less of them maybe like circling, you know, circulating, kind of trying to keep them up, kept up, because it just felt like, I don't know, just most of them were dirty. Most of them were way smaller than I was thinking would be, you know, appropriate for the level of people that are coming through the park. Right. So I don't know. I feel like that needs some, and just, you know, little things like, you know, lights kind of disconnected slightly, you know, doorways, just old paint, you know, it just, I feel like walking to the bathrooms, I was like, man, I feel like I'm walking out of Disney into like some random spot in California that's not as well kept up. So if you're listening, if you're in charge of bathrooms at Disneyland, personally, I feel like they could use a little attention, just a little upkeep, little expansion, bring them into the 21st century. You know, it's, I don't know, just my opinion. I felt like the bathrooms were, and I'm not a big bathroom comparer. I don't really have notes normally when I go.
You're not like our friend Beastly Appetite, who literally does the series of best places to poop in Disney World.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't have a super strong opinion, but I just felt like that was a pretty noticeable difference for me. Of just like, yeah, I don't feel like the bathrooms are as good at Disneyland compared to the ones at World.
Well, and we've been really spoiled here in Disney World, y'all, because here recently, most of our bathrooms have gone through major refurbishments. So like the bathrooms over in the UK Pavilion, I'm thinking like the Epcot ones in particular, the UK Pavilion bathrooms got refurbed and extended. Same with the ones over in the America Pavilion. I think Morocco's
nice up by Guardians of the Galaxy and Connections now. Those are very nice new bathrooms. Mm.
See, and those are all in very busy places. And when you're looking at the Disneyland map, they're really spread out. There is only two in Fantasyland, and one is all the way at one entrance.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
For those of you just listening and not watching, Danielle just muted herself to sneeze.
I was very impressed with how quickly I muted myself, because that was a loud, violent sneeze.
Kind of a blind mute, too. You weren't looking, and you just, like, clicked on it.
I knew where the button was, and I just clicked it. Just loud sneeze. Anyway. But as I was saying about these bathrooms, is that there's only two in Fantasyland and Disneyland, and one is located in between the Matterhorn and right before Alice in Wonderland's, and that's going to be the largest bathroom over there with the most stalls, and that's going to be the Queen of Hearts related bathroom. And then the other one is all the way over by Red Rose Tavern, which is on the far left side before you enter into the walkway towards Batu and Frontierland. And that one's so small, only has a couple of stalls in it. The next nearest one is all the way down in either Toontown or next to the Fantasyland Theater, which if you have to go, you're SOL. You don't have an option. You have to hold it in, or you got to stand there and wait in line. Yeah, I was very, as a family that we make such a point of knowing where the bathrooms are while we're in Disney World, so that way we can plan out. Well, I mean, we do subconsciously, because like when we have food stuff, and we make sure we stay very well hydrated. We did not do a good job of staying hydrated in Disneyland. We do a better job while we're here in Disney World, and we kind of know where the next bathroom is after we hydrate. Does that make sense?
See, I'm not thinking about a bathroom until I need one.
But you know that there will always be one available while you're in Disney World.
It's true.
I guess, yeah. Y'all really got me going, yes, about a bathroom right now on this show. It's very amusing.
But
I'm really going, Queen of Hearts bathroom, interesting. But I do agree, yes. Like, there is far more availability in Disney World.
Right. Because, think about it for our Fantasyland. Right? One of our largest bathrooms is going to be the Rapunzel bathroom, which is on the far left corner of Fantasyland. Then you have one.
Rapunzel bathroom is always incredibly clean when I go in there. I will say it's one of the cleanest bathrooms in
Great Disney bathroom.
Great Disney bathroom. And it has the great amount of stalls. It's fabulous. And then in the very center, you have Pinocchio's.
Okay, that one's hit or miss for me.
That one's hit or miss also because it's so busy.
I'm really up here like mentally grading bathrooms right now.
No, but think about it. Think about it. This is really a good topic to think about. But there's only a handful of attractions in between that bathroom and Rapunzel's.
Uh-huh, yes.
So you have that walkway. True. Your next walkway. Right. Your next walkway stop, depending on where you're headed off to, is either going to be towards... from Pinocchio's, which is in the very center near the carousel here in Walt Disney World, you either go to the back where Be Our Guest is, and then there's the Be Our Guest and Gaston's bathrooms, which is another great restroom, plenty of stalls, and then you go over the smallest one.
Top 10 restroom right there.
Top 10 restroom. And then you go over towards, if you're heading towards Tomorrowland, there's another one right there next to the outside of Alice as well. And right there next to the Tomorrowland Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have four compared to the two, and they have so many attractions and so many people, so many toddlers and dirty diapers. That's why it always smells weird over there. And I think it's because they have so many dirty diapers and they don't have enough changing rooms.
You heard it here first, folks. Disneyland smells weird.
No, but it's a Tapper Danielle fact. There's only four stalls in the majority of the Disneyland bathrooms, which is okay, even if the placement is, you know, maybe construction wise, that's all they could do, whatever. Okay, awesome. Four stalls for several hundred thousand people is just not going to cut it. That's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't think.
For hundreds of toddlers that are screaming their heads off and say, I don't need to use the bathroom. Go pee anyway. Yeah, no, there needs to be more.
I just feel like we could grease that a little bit.
Okay, before we end this segment, best bathroom you went in while we were in Disneyland and favorite bathroom in Disney World. I want to know. Because I know mine. I'll go first.
I do.
The best bathroom I went into while at Disneyland was at Tongariro Terrace. Or I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
At the Disneyland Hotel, the quick service restaurant, there's a bathroom in the back. That was the best one. It was small. It was quiet. It was clean. Nobody was ever in there when I was in there.
Did they have great themed music playing?
Yes, and it was all Hawaiian music. It was very relaxing.
Relaxing.
Inspired
music.
Me to go deeper and deeper into the jungle. but favorite in Disney World is convention floor of the Contemporary Resort. Hidden back behind the elevators.
That is a
very
good one.
Secret little bathroom. You gotta know about it.
That is a nice one, actually. Very, very nicely updated, too.
Yes.
Right?
Very nice, very clean. I was just in there the other day when I was down there for a day.
I'm like, this
back.
Is a great bathroom.
And I was like, wow, this is such a great, quiet, clean bathroom. This has got to be my favorite bathroom in all of Disney World. So that's mine. I'm curious to know y'all's before we go to the next segment.
I would say I didn't mind the Cars bathroom. We went there kind of at night. There was a lot of people right after Shaboom. I was impressed. It flowed pretty well. It was so that's probably the best one I went in, best experience I had at Disneyland or, you know, California Adventure kind of combo. At Disney World, notable one I went into, little small but very luxurious feeling, the Cake Bake on Boardwalk. Very nice bathroom, felt like 10 out of 10. Like, if that was my private bathroom, I'd be like, this is very, very luxurious feelings. I like the, like, full, like, ceiling to floor kind of divider type setup. It makes me feel very, like, this is my alcove, my chamber of solace. You know, it's like, very nice. So very, very nice experience at the Cake Bake. Well done there.
That is a good one, too. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say my favorite in Disneyland was actually the Trixie's Powder Room, maybe because it's just Country Bear themed, over at Hungry Bear Barbecue. And I didn't, at the time we went, there was a screaming child and a screaming mother arguing with each other. But typically this is one of my favorite restrooms to go to because it is big enough. Usually it's not too busy. It has an easy flow in and out of there. And it's pretty dark and has a decent amount of air conditioning. So that one I do usually like, except for the one time that there was a screaming kid in there. The favorite one, since you guys were giving more resort specific ones, I do have a favorite resort bathroom. I will not share it though, because I want to protect my, like, I will gatekeep that bathroom. But I know you guys know which one.
Message me afterwards.
I shared mine.
Yeah, but
which was secret resort bathroom.
Okay,
I'm gonna bleep it out. You're like, I'm gonna,
okay,
bleep,
you want me to say it
now,
and then you'll bleep it out.
Yeah, I want to hear it. I'll bleep it out and
okay
post.
My favorite bathroom is over at the
where they have the
vintagey music playing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yep. good times. No one's ever in there. Immaculate. I've had some of the best time in there. Everything flowed nicely. It was great. Anyway, TMI. But
everyone
okay
listening is just going to be like so curious.
So curious now. And y'all ain't going to know.
I love it.
I even talked with Beasley when he was here. And he's like, Danielle, you got to let me know so I can find out the best one. I'm like, and I'm not going to tell you, bro. I'm sorry. You will just never know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I would say protect that one. I like protecting that one. I'm a fan.
Right? Protect that one, gatekeep, girl boss. We'll protect that bathroom.
I've definitely used that one, and I didn't think about that one, but that one is really good.
It is. But if I had to pick a park one, a favorite park bathroom, it is always going to be, and the one that I will specifically wait and try to go to, especially when I'm in Hollywood Studios, is the Droid bathroom over there in Batuu.
Okay.
Because the reasoning why is that when a custodial cast member is stationed in Batuu, they are not allowed to leave out of Batuu during that shift. So they are constantly refreshing those restrooms and or cleaning up around the area. And there's only that restroom and the one over by the marketplace. The marketplace is more heavily used, where the Droid one, I don't know why, but it flows out a little bit better. Maybe because there's not like a food station or there's not as many kids over there in like the marketplace side, because there's not like a gift shop directly there besides Droid Depot. And it, great AC, always blasting. And then if I hear the, there's a, they have one of the songs from the radio, like they play the radio station in Batuu in there. And it's a bop every time. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Gives a whole new meaning to Rising Moons, if you know what I mean.
Literally.
Or Sitting Moons.
Well, I say this is a good pausing point because we haven't even started talking about attractions, entertainment, some of the holiday things that we got to experience over in Disneyland. I did not realize we were going to talk so heavily on some of the new stuff and, of all things, bathrooms in Disney World and Disneyland. Who knew? But obviously, this is a conversation that we needed to have, and we had some very heavy opinions on it.
We needed to talk about this.
And for everyone listening that's thinking, wow, you know, suddenly I really need to go to the bathroom. You're welcome. This whole conversation has been subliminal messaging to you for you to listen to your body and take a bathroom break if you need it right now.
Right now is the time to do it. So, but before we let you go and use the restroom and before we talk about anything else, we're going to break this up into a part two segment in this episode. And we're going to talk about all those fun things like the attractions and entertainment in the next one. So stay tuned for that. More to come your way. Thank you again so much for listening this far into the episode and hanging out with the three of us. We genuinely appreciate it. Some other things that we do want to talk talk about, though. We had a very successful book signing over in Huntington Beach in California. Thank you to everyone that went to that one. If you are looking for a signed copy by myself and Ian, they still have a handful of copies over at the Huntington Beach, California location. You can actually call that Barnes & Noble and place a order, and they will send you a pre-signed version to anyone in the U.S. To my friends outside of the U.S., I'm not too sure, but you can still reach out and see if they'll do international shipping. So more to come on that, but we do have another in-person book signing that's going to be coming up here in the month of September, in the very middle. It is going to be September 20th at the Chicago Anderson's location, the book signing at Anderson's Bookshop. I do have a link for that. It's going to be over in the link tree. It's also over on the Dapper Danielle website. I'm going to try to put a link also here in the episode notes as well, so you can see that. It is a reservation system, and you pre-order your book beforehand. Anderson's wants to make sure you're going to show up. So make sure you go ahead and do that. All the information is below. And we do have some more fun, exciting things that we are working on currently for some other events, some new things happening in the works. So more information to come. Thanks again for listening this far into the episode. Guys, do you have anything else to add before we sign off?
Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, give us a rating on all platforms. You may have already said this and I missed it. But
No, I did. I kind of alluded to it, but I didn't really say it.
Yes. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. You can leave comments on podcasts now on Spotify. Leave a comment. We will look at them. We'll read them. If you want to reach out to us, hit us up at podcast@thedapperdanielle.com. If you want to share your favorite bathroom on Disney property,
yes,
please send it our way. We want to know. And we want to know your secret bathroom spot. We won't share. We won't tell anybody. We'll probably use
it
ourselves.
Should we set this up? I feel like I need to also set this up as a quiz over on the Patreon. I think we're going to do this. I want to know also on the Patreon what people's opinions are on the bathrooms and if they have a favorite.
We'll do a bathroom bracket. How about that or something? Or like a bathroom competition. Like, which bathroom is the best?
I think this is a great idea. And that's going to be over on the Patreon, everybody. Mm-hmm. So make sure check that out.
So let us know your suggestions of which bathrooms need to go into this competition, into this bracket. And we'll put it together. We'll figure out the best bathroom at Disney World.
I love this idea.
Disneyland as well. Maybe have competing, like, of all Disney company, what the best bathroom is.
Wow. Well, I'll make sure that my bathroom doesn't get onto the roster because nobody needs to know about this one. This one won't even compete.
Yeah, we'll bleep it out. We'll blur it out. It'll just be secret bathroom.
Secret bathroom. And then have that one go against all the other ones with no context.
It could be like a certain tier of the Patreon. You know, it's like a very exclusive, very high tier. But it could be a tier of the Patreon, the Secret Bathroom Club. You get access to knowing what the secret bathroom
Danielle's
is.
Danielle's favorite bathroom.
I love this idea. But then I'm going to have people randomly hanging out over there being like, if I go to this restroom, will Danielle randomly appear? Probably, honestly. Well, until next time, everybody, thanks again for listening into the episode. Let us know your opinions over on the Patreon, over on the email, all the things. Until next time, night night, sleep tight, dream of churros tonight.
And listen for part two.
Yeah.